Our Bible reading today is in 1 Peter chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm not going to be preaching in the book of Isaiah today. I feel compelled to come to this chapter, and I trust the Lord will have a word for us all as we read and minister on 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin our reading at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel today from the pulpit of our church. I trust that the Lord will have a word for your own soul. We're coming to 1 Peter 5, 7, that passage we just read, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And in these days of great trial in our nations, we need to know how to cast our burdens upon the Lord. We need to come with our fears and our concerns, knowing that the Lord Jesus is well able to comfort and to save those that need the Savior. And that is the urgent, pressing need. Because every time that we have such a dramatic, traumatic issue in our lands, whether it's an earthquake, a flood, devastation, pestilence, plague, or as this coronavirus has come upon us, it's really a message to remind us we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world that's broken, a world that is under the curse of death,
and death stalks men in so many ways. And we need to realize that we are the sentence of death is upon us, and that we are dying. We need a Savior. We need one who will lift us out of this world into eternal life. And that's what Jesus committed the world to do. He came all the way from heaven that he might save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means, to save his people from their sins. And you need to be saved. You will find hope and assurance in the message of the gospel. So stay tuned with us as we go to this Bible text, 1 Peter 5:7.
1 Peter 5:7 is our text today. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray a moment as we come to this part of God's word. Father, we thank thee today for a heavenly Father in our times of need. And just as children run to their Father with their burdens and cares, O Lord, we thank thee that we can turn to thee and know that you care for our souls, you care for our daily walk and all our needs. You care when we call upon thee. And I pray today that you will open up this word, this text, and plant it deeply within our hearts, that we not just be hearers of thy word, but that we would truly rest in it, rejoice in it, and exhibit a true confidence that our Father is in control and he cares for us. O Lord, give us the help of the Holy Spirit as we speak thy word and utter these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. In this passage, Peter reveals that he is a pastor, and he himself cares. He couldn't have written this text if he himself had not cared. He refers to himself as an elder. He refers to himself as a shepherd. And therefore, out of great love and care for his people, he penned these words. It's helpful, therefore, to me to choose a passage like this, and I trust bring a word of comfort and confidence to your heart as we deal with the issues of life in our present difficulties all around us. Now, Peter was writing to an afflicted people. He exhorted back in chapter 4 about suffering as a Christian. Now, whether it was temporal, material, or the spiritual battles that God's people were enduring, due perhaps to persecution, perhaps to movement from place to place. There were many refugees in the world at that time, people who were on the move and uprooted from their routines and homes and families. And that's probably the most difficult thing to deal with in our lives when normality is out and everything is new and strange to us. And it is then that Peter steps in with this word of assurance. Now, I have drafted 12 questions that people in Peter's day may have been asking. And I try to keep them in the historical context. But as I go down them, I think you will find that they are really present to us because we're in the same world. We're in dealing with many of the same things. And even though time goes on and centuries change, turning over through the eras of time, the fears, the issues of life, many of them are the same. How shall I provide food and shelter? What will become of my family if I don't survive? How shall I personally endure sufferings and deprivation? How shall I face this without complaining or blaspheming God? I am afraid my faith will fail me and I will make shipwreck of my testimony of Christ and the gospel? How will I bear the shame before my friends and family? How will I testify of God's goodness? How will I stand in the Lord's church as a sufferer if I fail to worship and serve God? How will I face doubts, Satan, the taunts of the ungodly? Will there ever be an end to these trials? Will I carry this to the grave? Will I finally be saved for heaven? These are all great cares, and each one of us bear them one way or another. And Peter suggests what we are to do with these fears. And he says, cast them upon the Lord. Truly, throw them off. And I have an analogy that I hope will help. You know, the days of the coal man bringing the sack of coal, and he would take it from his truck. He'd have this cap, and probably that was the beginning of caps being worn backwards, not the hippie style, but the coal man with his cap turned backwards so the dust didn't go down the back of his neck. And he would carry the sack of coal, and he would take it to wherever the dumpster was or wherever the client wanted it to be delivered, and he would literally throw it off and relieve himself of that burden. And that is what Peter is suggesting here, that we are to cast our cares. Now, cares are distractions. That's the literal word behind the word care in this passage, distractions. And I don't know about you, but I found it very difficult this week to think straight. I found it very difficult to forget all the things and the news items and so on, and thinking ahead of what's next and how do we avoid this and that. And as pastor and as elders and deacons, we were all concerned about what measures we take as a congregation. So it's easy to get distracted from normal things. And here is Peter saying to us, casting our cares or distractions upon the Lord, because for he careth for us. And that is indeed a wonderful thing. Now, there was a day when Peter was in trouble himself. You remember the night in which he denied the Lord. What a demented mind he had that night. He was tortured by the grilling of the little girl. He was fearful to stand up for the Lord. And then when the cock crowed and he failed, he cried. What a burden was upon him. What a weighty burden was upon his heart. Until the Lord had a word for Peter. And the Lord met with Peter individually. And in John 20, you will read about how he was restored. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And he was commanded to feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He was given the Lord's work to do. And this comes down to our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if you love the Lord Jesus, and if you are in his love and care, then what strength and what peace this brings to every one of our hearts. And what shall we say then to those who do not love our Lord Jesus? Those who refuse to worship him? Those who refuse to bow the knee and accept the Lord as their Savior? Those who resist and argue against the Bible and its truths, against the gospel, against the crosswork of Calvary? What shall we say of them? To whom shall you run? Where shall you go? Life is very tenuous. We're made of the dust, and from dust we were taken, and to dust we shall return. Therefore, we need a Savior, and you need to cast your cares upon the Lord. And perhaps your big care is your fear of eternity. Where will you be in eternity? Will you be in heaven or hell? Will you be saved or lost? And so, if you're not a Christian today, you can cast your burden upon the Lord. You can come and trust in the Lord to save you and be cleansed in the power of his precious blood. Now, I have a few headings here, of course. Every preacher needs to follow a structure and a plan. We just don't want to ramble here. Sometimes I ramble in introductions, but I don't want to do that right through the message. So we're going to get to this issue of how do we cast our cares upon the Lord? We're told to do it, but how do we do it? How do we actually do it in reality? Well, you'll notice that verse 6 and verse 7 actually go together. You can't understand verse 7 without taking into account verse 6, because verse 6 ends in a colon. It's not a completed statement. It is a run-on piece of information that you get in verse 7. So we're told in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. So in reality, the casting of our care is by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we have to acknowledge that these cares come from the hand of God. Everything is under the mighty hand of God, even viruses. I heard someone mention COVID means Christ over viruses and infectious diseases. And praise God, he is. He is over everything. And these things are not a surprise to the Lord. He knows all about them, and he's bringing them for a purpose. But we have to recognize that they come from him. And therefore, we are to submit and acknowledge that we are in a world, and praise God, he is in control. Now, you'll notice also that there is mentioned in verse 6, a due time, that he will exalt you in due time. And praise God, all of these things are but temporary. Now, that's relative, of course. Temporary could be a day, a week, a month, a year, or the rest of our lives on earth. But they're still temporary in light of eternity, in light of the endlessness of the eons of eternity. Every struggle, care, every burden we carry in this world is in that sense temporary. And there's a due time when God will lift those from us, and he will lift and deliver us out of it. And so by recognizing, humbling ourselves, that we're under the hand of the great and mighty God who controls everything, and that he is doing this for a time, and he's doing it for our good. Now that's the tough pill to swallow, but a Christian knows that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, imagine a doctor doing his rounds and the patient asks, "Doctor, will I ever get better? How long will it take?" And the doctor reassuringly says, "You just sit it out. I have seen hundreds of patients with the exact same symptoms and diagnosis as you, and I have seen them, and I've been able to see them come through and get completely better. Just follow instructions, take your meds, get all the rest you can, and follow the advice, and you will get through this." What a great reassurance that is. And of course, the Lord now, who is the mighty God, the Lord says to us that in due time, that he will exalt us, and we will be brought through this by the good, caring hand of the Lord. Now, one day you will speak of that kind of deliverance too. And for every Christian, when we reach the glory land and we will read of this and rehearse of this old world, what a sinful world it is. What a cursed world it is. A world of danger, a world of floods, fire, earthquakes, death, mortality, death stalks us at every hand. We live in fear. You can't live in this world without some measure of fear, that respect of danger. Otherwise, you would just walk across the road and get knocked down. You would put your finger in the electrical socket and electrocute yourself. You have to have respect for all the dangers that are around us. And those things that are beyond our control, well, they put even extra respect or fear within our hearts. But when we get to heaven and we say, "The Lord brought us home," out of a world filled with dangers and death and cares. What a wonderful Savior we have. And that will be the testimony of every Christian. And we will say, yes, the Lord exalted us in due time. Now, another heading I would give here is that humility requires us to cast your care on the Lord. And I emphasize again, verse 5 and 6 go together, and they require us to humble ourselves. Now, how do we humble ourselves? I know as a parent, when I say to, well, when my children, when our children were small, we would say to them, humble yourself. Now, what does that really mean? It means that you back down. It means that you recognize your error. And as believers on the Savior, we recognize that we're sinners. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And you'll notice here it's something we're commanded to do. We're commanded to do it. You might say, well, I am me and I'm a pretty smart, capable person, and I will make the right decisions and I'll get through this. Well, that's not casting your care upon the Lord. That's not saying, well, you know, God gave me talents and I'll use them and I'll be fine. No, we all have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to our need of the Lord. As in the Old Testament, where the Lord in his word has taught that we're not to be like the horse or the mule that needs to be kept in by bit and bridle. And you know that young horse that we talk about champing at the bit, it's fighting it, resisting it. And you wouldn't know what direction that beast would dart in. It's a risky thing to be traveling with a young animal that's not submitting to the bit and bridle. But we're not to be like that. We're to submit. We're to acknowledge the hand of God. It's mighty. He's in control. And I'm going to place myself in the hand of the Lord. Have you done that? As a family, have you done that this week? As an individual? The fears are surrounding this, our nations, are really great. And Christians should not have fear that is just panic, but enables us to submit and humble ourselves, placing ourselves into the hands of the Lord.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher. Today's message has been very solemn, fresh from our pulpit ministry this past Sunday, when I wanted to bring a word of comfort and reassurance to my own congregation. And I trust that this word has reached your heart. These are times of turbulence, of fear of heart, and many need to know the comfort that is in the Lord Jesus, the comfort of the gospel that brings men to a wonderful hope in the assurance of salvation. And so as you hear all the news of the coronavirus, and as we learn of the tragedy that it has brought upon nations in Italy, Spain, and in other parts of Europe. There have been deaths and many reports of illness here already in Canada, and we know that it is going to escalate, and there are great concerns of what the toll will be upon this nation in health and many other ways. And so as we humble ourselves, and that's been the message we found here in 1 Peter 5, 7, 6 and 7, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It demands that we repent and turn to the Lord. It demands that we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we turn from our sin and seek the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is not a selfish, cold profession just to get over this. No, it is to totally give your heart to the Lord, to seek a new heart, that you might live a new life to glorify the Lord as a Christian and as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And that means giving him your whole life. And that means coming to the Savior, asking him to be Lord of your life. It will mean that you open the Bible and claim the gospel promises. Now I want to read to you this very clear gospel promise in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that is very clear. It emphasizes that we've got to speak, use words, pray, calling on the Lord Jesus, and do so in faith. Believe in thine heart. And we are to believe certain facts, that God hath raised up Christ from the dead. And that really is the central focus of the gospel. We have a living Savior. He's alive. He's at the right hand of God. He's governing over all things in this world. And it is to him that we owe our trust. We must bow the knee, pleading the saving grace of the living Lord Jesus to save us. And here's the promise. Moving now to verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is the message we want to get through to you today. You must come personally pleading the promise. Whosoever, that's you, shall call, that's what you must do. Call, cry out in prayer upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And if I can be of any personal help, be sure to give me a call or send me an email. Coming up now are these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.